Welcome, welcome, welcome back. This is The Passion Entrepreneur. You listen to E3C, The Passion Entrepreneur. Don't forget to check out the website, e3clink.com. That's e3clink.com. We have Paula Charles, another passionate entrepreneur. Now, she is into mergers and acquisitions. She's started her career with the Big Eight, first working as an auditor in the Netherlands, for Pete Marwich and Mitchell, and spent 10 years in management as a consultant for Deloitte and Touche. Did I say that correctly?
No, Deloitte and Touche.
Deloitte and Touche. Okay, Touche.
Touche.
Okay, I have to work on that. I got a weekend for doing that. So, Paula, you're with Abraxas Business Services. What's the story behind the name? Because that's it. You got ROI Calc. I've interviewed them, and now Abraxas.
When I started Abraxas, it's been 4 years ago. One of the things in my industry that people often do is name a firm after themselves, and I think that
Paula
really,
Charles,
Inc. Charles Consulting,
Charles
right?
Consulting,
and I think it really restricts a company because it makes people think it's only you. And I have a group of people that do mergers and acquisitions work. So I wanted something that really didn't mean anything, because that way you can rebrand it as you need to, or change your messaging, or get clear on what you provide. So we use our tagline to describe what we do. And
Abraxas, your tagline is?
That we provide M&A mergers and acquisition services to the lower middle market.
Okay. So interesting facts. What's some really great things about Abraxas and your company?
When someone goes to sell their company, I think what people don't realize is they're more likely not to sell it than to sell it. If you look at the big deals that you read about in the Wall Street Journal, less than 50% of those sell. If you look at businesses, Main Street businesses that are sold, you see that less than 25% sell. So you have a higher likelihood of not selling than selling. So what we've really refined our methodology and our approach to make sure that our success rate is way above the industry average. So our target is 60% close rate.
60%?
Right.
You got my attention, 60%.
60% close rate, which means we have to be good at qualifying and educating our business owners for them to understand not only the process, but also the emotional turmoil they'll go through on the way, and probably the most important, what they can expect to get on an after-tax basis.
So what is it that Abraxas is good at? What are clients like about you? Why do they select you?
Well, you know, I really don't. We're really a hybrid, first of all.
Between you said mergers acquisitions.
We're a hybrid, but most people know what investment bankers are. Some people know what business brokers are. I cringe at the word broker, because broker implies to me transaction. And we aren't about the transaction. We're about a relationship.
The
marketplace we play in, which is the lower middle market, you're dealing with companies that are too big to be small and too small to be big. And you really need to use a hybrid between business brokerage and investment banking in how you approach problems.
So who's your competition?
Well, good question. Sometimes it's business brokerage firms. Sometimes it's other folks that have one or two person shops that sell businesses.
So what makes you the best, the better pick? Why do people choose you?
I think our success rate and our methodology and our team. Many folks in our space are one-man shows. And we have a team, and we work as a team. We hunt and kill and eat all from the same
really?
Pot.
So you invite
so
me to dinner next
commission.
Week or
Absolutely.
Over the weekend? Okay, but okay. You talk about your team. What makes your team so special? Because you're a CPA, right?
In fact, of the four people that are very active in the firm, three of us are actually I call it lapsed CPAs.
Lapsed CPAs. Okay.
What that means
is that
is
a crime?
I don't know, but what it means is we realized we're better at probably negotiating business than doing what accountants typically do. But what the CPA has done is allowed us to have the knowledge of how to analyze financial statements and really a solid understanding of business.
So you're in the mergers and acquisitions. What is it that that stops a deal? What are some of the challenges
that
maybe...
How long do we have? Long do we have?
We've got, I don't know how much we've got.
I could talk about that. I give speeches on that.
Maybe one or two things for buyers and maybe one or two things for sellers. It's your preference.
Okay. On the sales side, the number one reason is the business isn't sellable in its current state at the price owner wants.
Oh, okay. So how do you help with that?
Well, we do work with owners who... Let's face it, in the market that we're dealing with, most of the owners, the transaction value is between about $3 million and $15 million. Many of those owners can't live on the after-tax proceeds, so they don't have a choice unless they're sick or going through divorce or something like that. They usually choose to keep their business and grow it because they can't afford to sell it at that time. So we'll work with them on identifying what they need to do to drive up the value of their business and make it more attractive to other people. So sometimes they're sellable. I'm working with a company right now that has a very sellable business, but he just can't get the price he wants. He wants about 40% more than what the buyers are willing to pay. And that's often driven by the type of buyer. You can have strategic buyers, which are companies buying companies. You can have private equity groups, and you can have individuals all vying for the same company, all that will pay a different price because of their ability to pay and the synergies they can get out of the business.
Okay. So I guess another question that I want to ask is can a CPA really, truly sell a business? CPAs are all about numbers and figures and stuff. And how do you close that sale?
Because I have spent 6 months as a CPA and the rest of my career has been as a management consultant or an executive in a company or doing M&A work in a large corporation. It's a credential much like someone who has an engineering degree. That doesn't define who they are. It defines the type of training they've had.
Okay. All right. But so what is it that you bring from the Big Eight experience and your manager?
A methodology.
Okay. That nobody else offers.
Well, I think, don't we? Hopefully everyone thinks that they've really refined their methodology and that it works. I think methodology, what you learn in the Big Eight is how to communicate with your clients, and you learn that in the corporate world too, and that is very important, is informing people. Most people will sell a business once in their lifetime. You know, it's not something you can really they can become an expert on overnight, so you need a good intermediary, which is what I am, is going to do a lot of hand-holding and a lot of education of these owners. Keep in mind, they're passionate, successful...
Watch the passionate
successful entrepreneurs.
Okay.
This is their money.
Absolutely.
This is their life. And you've got to treat that with a lot of respect, and it's a lot of responsibility to take them through the process successfully.
So why did you decide to start this business, Abraxas Business Services?
Well, you know what? I was looking for a business to buy when I decided to leave corporate America, and was really kind of shocked at the service I got. I was looking at buying a business around $2 million in the business brokerage world. And having worked with investment bankers, I was pretty shocked with the service I got. And I understand better now why. And I decided that I could take what I'd learned in investment banking and apply it on the lower end of the market, but not at the very lowest end. Wow. I felt there was a gap there.
And so, obviously, you've been successful. You're still in business.
I'm still in business 4 years later. We're very successful. We've done now in 4 years probably about 30 deals. About 10 on the
30 deals.
10 on the buy side. 10 to 12 on the buy side. Yeah, we've done very well.
Why don't you share with our listeners some of the success stories, maybe one or two?
Well, a recent one we had was a manufacturing company here in the Southeast, electronic components. It was a transaction value between $5 and $10 million, and worked with the owner and actually found a private equity group that was interested in taking it to the next level. Actually, the buyer came to us through an outplacement firm, an engineer leaving the corporate world, and then he went and found a private equity group to back him. the owner is very, very happy with the buyer that was found, because most of the owners want the business to continue and thrive because, you know, it's a part of their identity. So he was tickled pink with who we found to buy the business and take it to the next level. On the buy side, that's very satisfying because there's so many people now, men and women in their 40s and 50s, who are either tired of corporate America or fear that, you know, the next time they get a job, they'll have it for 2 years mm-hmm. if they're lucky. And they really want to do something entrepreneurial, but they don't know how. So we, one individual ended up buying two companies, one for him and one for his wife.
Oh, too bad he's married.
Why?
That's a joke in there. I won't go there.
Oh, okay.
But probably a bad joke for a person trying to host a show on business. But okay. If he was single, then, you know, he was looking for somebody and said, I could offer you another business if you marry me. Okay. End of joke. But continue
that,
on.
That would be an interesting strategy.
That's a good, I should write that down. That's a pretty good strategy. But, and so what happened there?
He ended up buying two companies. They're doing very well, and he's living his passion.
Man, I never thought about that. Say, if you marry me, I'll give you a business. Let me ask you another question. What about ROI? What's your return on investment for your business that you can point to?
Well, to be honest, I haven't thought of it that way.
Okay.
Well,
if you can't answer that question, that's okay.
I mean, I have to ask I work with my buyers and sellers okay. to answer that.
I guess something to talk about is that, have you ever had an instance where you had a business that couldn't sell it, and then they got with you and they sold it?
Yes.
Okay.
I have.
All right.
I mean, they tried to sell it through someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that happens. And sometimes it's, quote, our brilliance that gets us there. And sometimes,
of course.
You know, sometimes owners have to go through the realities of life to find out what their business is really worth. And the business I ultimately sold for someone sold at 70%. It sold at what it was really worth.
Mm-hmm.
It was overpriced significantly the first time it was for sale.
Sometimes business owners, entrepreneurs have big egos. You have to sort through that.
Well, it gets back to a firm's philosophy. Some people in my space will put a business for sale at whatever the owner wants, and they'll let time take care of the problem. You know, when no one comes knocking on the door 9 months later, they'll say, gee, maybe I need to lower the price. I don't think that's a good strategy. I don't think it's good to overprice products and then hope someone will come along later and lower it. So one of the things we do is get real clear up front on what we think the business is worth based on the types of buyers. We may have three price points on a business, because if it's a strategic buyer, they may pay 20 to 40% more than an individual, and they may pay 10 to 15% more than a private equity group.
This is a really interesting conversation. I'm running out of time, but is there a particular industry that you focus on, or what industries are you more successful in?
We've done a lot of work in manufacturing, distribution, services, and technology.
Okay. All right, then. And as we conclude, if we could take all this information and you want to pass it on to summarize our conversation with the listeners listening to this show, what would you want to share with the group to kind of summarize your message?
Well, what I would say is, business owners who someday plan to sell their business, first of all, on average, I would say leave 20 to 30% of the value of their business on the table because they don't plan ahead. And they don't treat it as an independent, serious process to get their business ready for sale. So that process is as important, getting your business ready for sale, as the actual sale process. And you need to have very good intermediaries during the process representing you that coach you along the way, so that when roadblocks come up, you know you're being taken care of.
And when should somebody engage you or start contacting you if they want to sell their business or want to buy a business? How long does that take?
Well, on the sales side, you really should start 2 years ahead of time. You should have someone come in and look and tell you where the blemishes are, because we all know that businesses have blemishes. And many of them are fixable. 2 years in advance, they're hard to fix while you're going through the sale process, like getting non-solicits in place for your employees. You want to do that. You want to be working on that ahead of time.
This is a really nice conversation we're having, so we're going to have to end it so soon. But Paula Charles, Abraxas Services, Business Services, thank you very much.
Sure.
If there could be an action item that you would like to share, first of all, why don't you share your website with us?
www.abraxas, which is abraxas.biz.
And one more time.
abraxas.biz.
That's B-I-Z, not .com, right?
Right, B-I-Z.
And what would be one action item that you would encourage the listeners to do? They want to sell their business. One thing they can do right now.
Get a sense of what it's really worth.
Get a sense of what it's really worth. Okay.
On an after-tax basis.
All right, then. Excellent, excellent, excellent. So, Paula, are you going to come back and see us soon?
Sure.
And what would you want to share with the group next time you visit?
But I'm not sure you want me to bring divorce clients.
It doesn't matter. Just as long as you bring your expertise. It's fine.
Okay, that's good.
Okay, this is Paula Charles with Abraxas Business Services. We'll be right back.